French young tan man, Joshua.
Poor boy, you know, you got to stand your ground between the devil and the deep blue sea.
For your walls are tumbling down,
tumbling down.
Everything that we've talked about tonight, today, at one way, at some stage or another, everyone in the group knew about this. And our friend Freelance Autist here can actually confirm one of these stories.
Oh, yeah. I've been waiting for a chance to talk anyway. But a while back, Johnny Monoxide was down here in North Carolina over some personal business with, I believe, his ex-wife regarding a kid. Not really important. I was in contact with him for a while, and eventually we agreed to meet up at a place I used to work at, and we had a couple beers. So, naturally, the first thing I noticed about Johnny Monoxide, other than how, you know, short he was, is that Johnny's a fucking talker. Like, Hazard probably knows this better than I do, because Hazard knows him longer than I had, but that motherfucker just loves to talk and talk and talk and talk. But eventually...
He likes the sound of his own voice.
Yeah, he really fucking does. But eventually, you know, of course, the subject of basically like the higher-ups and the hierarchy of TRS came up, and Greg Johnson was eventually brought up. Now, I didn't really know too much about Greg Johnson. I think there was kind of like the rumor going around that he was gay at the time, but I didn't fucking really know. I didn't really fucking care because I have no interest in the higher-ups in general. But Johnny pretty much told me like flat out, like, oh yeah, we know he's gay, but we're okay with it as long as he keeps it on the down low. But from what I'm getting from, like, all we had, like, the first half of this fucking show was basically, like, Greg is not on the fucking down low at all. So I'm not getting where the fuck they're getting this idea that Greg is just like, oh, you know, he's celibate and he doesn't talk about it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's that. And also the fact of the matter is that TRS, I mean, this was something they really put on the Rebel show, and I think this is the core reason why we are having all these issues that we're talking about was the fact that the riotstuff.biz started off as a libertarian anarcho-capitalist Facebook group, most of whom...
And the libertarians are not integrating well.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a lovely fucking post that Sven did. Anyway, yeah, so it started off as a libertarian group, and as we all know, if you've even just like looked at libertarianism for 5 minutes, it is filled with dumpster fires, trash, just everything.
Come,
yeah, because a lot of people go to libertarianism to justify their degeneracy by abolishing the estate, abolishing, you know, morals, you know, moral structure. Just basically, everyone can be free to do whatever they want to do with absolutely no consequences.
God, I wonder what group of people do that often.
And of course TRS was born out of this, and TRS has had this its entire time. There was, and this is where another one of my personal stories comes in, and I wish I had something to prove of this, but one stage or another, we had a Discord server, a large Discord server for a whole bunch of people involved in TRS and the wider alt-right, and Seventh Son came in, and Seventh Son began talking about a variety of things, and we'll get on to one of those things in a second, but he basically said, he openly admitted in front of at least 10 people, TRS had a lot of gays at the start, but they're all gone now, we're all, you know, we're all right-wing, we're all fashy, you know, we want to get rid of the Jews, etc. You know, how do you do, fellow white nationalists? Obviously, he was completely and utterly lying, because as we've shown today, like, for example, Ghoul has been around, as far as to my knowledge, if remembering what was said on the Daily Show, Ghoul has been around since at least 2011. Thorn Lockerson, how long has he been around?
Yeah, 2015 minimum.
Greg Johnson, he said so himself. He's been in this since for 17 years. And I know for a fact that he's been involved with the Daily Show since 2014. That's why I actually first heard about him, was on the show back in 2014. So, no, they're not gone. They're still there. And they still post about this stuff, as we said.
I don't know if you want to keep going.
Yeah, you go ahead, Freelance.
They want to do the same fucking thing that happens every time there's some kind of kerfuffle with the fucking higher-ups. And it's basically, someone gets thrown under the bus. That's happened at least like two or three fucking times. I mean, the last one was with Hazard, personally. And they're going to fucking try to sweep all these incidences under the fucking rug and pretend it never fucking happened. And I wouldn't really... If the fucking higher-ups, I think a lot of people on TRS probably felt the same way, like when the Mike's Kike Wife incident came out. If it just came out and, you know, admitted, you know, where they were fucking wrong, I think a lot of people could probably forgive them, but the problem is they never fucking want to. They just want to keep playing fucking innocent.
It's really, I hate to say it, it's a really Jewish tactic. Oh, we don't know anything about this plan. Oh, it's unfortunate, but look, you know, it's just we got to stay strong for the movement, and we got to put this behind us and
work towards a better future.
What have you done for the movement?
Yeah,
it's like when a politician gets shot, and everybody's like, "We got to stay united." Like, no, not fucking really. You're in the fucking wrong. You need to come fucking clean. If you fucking come clean, I'd be a little bit fucking happier as opposed to finding someone to fucking scapegoat with a bunch of shit. Sweeping the rest of the shit under the rug and then pretending you've always been innocent. And if somebody starts asking questions, they're fucking gone.
And while we're speaking of scapegoats, are we now going to finally talk about one scapegoat?
Commonfield did nothing wrong.
So let's just give a little bit of history here if people do not know, because this actually did happen a long time ago when you think about it in the grand scheme of things.
This was back in 2015. Commonfield had been in the TRS inner circle for quite some time. And he didn't really post in there a lot. He just occasionally, if they were being too libertarian, tolerant of faggots, he'd post something. And essentially what happened, and I'll let mine read the Facebook post, because Seventh Son actually summed it up. The TLDR, before we get into it, is there were fags in the inner circle talking about their husband and shit like that, and caps got leaked and Commonfield got blamed. Take it away, mine!
There's so many pictures here. We have a gigantic follower. Okay, here we go. I found it. So, Sven Suntag posted this on Facebook. TLDR. He capped. He posted half Dan's story about the Dindu woman on the subway in which he mentioned his husband or something. And just for the record, that story... I heard about that. That was the one that Seventh Son mentioned in that Discord chat before. That was one of the people he was talking about. So anyway, he posted it on 8chan to insinuate this group was a bunch of fags. The metadata from the JPEG he posted does not match the screen caps of, should I say those names?
I'm not sure.
Redacted and redacted, sent to Cleedon. I know who Cleedon is. That's not his real name. After pleading with me in DM on Twitter to not sully his name as being untrustworthy, he proceeded to go to the live chat on Millennial Woes, who is gay. He puts that in parentheses, who is gay. Christmas hangout I was participating in and promote his upcoming expose of the alt-right as a gay nationalist, blah, 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 whatever. After Dante posted some bullshit in the forum about having permission from the higher-ups to tell whatever version of the story he gleaned from discussions here, an angry Commonfield DM'd me, again, pleading innocent. I told him I didn't believe him at all anymore because of his promotion of his expose and all his alt-right be-like tweets. He then backpedaled and tried to tell me his big expose was the old news screen caps of the James O'Meara weirdness and Jack Donovan's Fuck Boys Like Women forum post. Forgive me, but everyone has seen that stuff, and is not an expose. He has nothing else, or he's burned all these bridges for nothing.
And the problem is, though, that Commonfield wasn't the one. The person who posted those screen caps and sent them around eventually felt guilty about it, because he's involved with some of the identity Dixie stuff, and Ryan McMahon and Musonius Rufus are both big fans of Common Filth and still associate with him. And he felt guilty, and he eventually came clean about it. He was an individual that goes by the sock name of Gusty Rhodes.
Or Gusty Chan.
And that was
Chan.
Who did that. Yeah, or
he's
Gusty
called Chan. Gusty Chan on the forum. He's an admin.
Yeah, yeah. He's an admin. You know, someone who betrayed their trust and everything like that. But you know what? They already had their scapegoat. They'd already blamed Common Filth. They'd already set their fucking narrative. And obviously they're going to stick by that. It's a lot easier than admitting you're wrong.
Sounds like a similar story that I've heard before.
You've heard it multiple times.
Four times, at least to my knowledge. But,
like,
yeah.
More like six times, and four of those were John Eden.
So Colin Firth, basically, yeah, Colin Firth did nothing wrong here. And that is why Colin Firth is so bitter about TRS. Oh, and we left out a crucial detail of this story. Hazard, who had the biggest problem in the TRS Facebook group with Colin Firth?
Why, my good sir, that would be Ghoul. And I believe you have some testimony on that part.
Actually, I have testimony from both Sven and another anonymous person who told me about this. But basically, like, during the entirety of like Colin Firth's role at TRS from late 2014 to early 2015, Ghoul just absolutely despised him, disliked him, and kept on counter-signaling him, kept on, you know, leaving his typical snarky comments. I wouldn't be surprised if he left dog pictures. So, yeah, he didn't really like him.
To be fair, Colin Firth always said that Ghoul was actually a faggot.
Yes.
And I guess that was right.
That was the thing. So when this all came about, this whole accusations of Colin Firth, you know, leaking screen caps and starting shit, Seventh Son said, and this was in that same Skype, the same Discord conversation, that Seventh Son really liked Colin Firth and got along with him well and didn't want to remove him. But Ghoul and several other people were adamant that Colin Firth had to go. And then it was sometime during all of this that the story of the leaked screenshots came up. And as we just stated before, that revolved in Colin Firth's expulsion. Now, I remember not long after that listening to Colin Firth Radio, because fun fact for people, if you don't know this, this is how I actually found TRS. It was via Colin Firth. I knew him from me. I remembered his shitposting meme pages he used to have back in like 2013, 2014. And during Gamergate, that was when he started Colin Firth Radio. I started listening to it. So I've listened to pretty much a lot of it up until at least late 2015. And I remember distinctly he said on an episode that he still respected Seventh Son and liked him. It was just the other people at the rightstuff.biz he couldn't stand. So, yeah.
Interesting, because I have the exact opposite opinion.
Well, that was at the time. This was around, I should say, this was around May or June 2015 when this was being said. So
now, I am going to say, in the interest of honesty, I have my own personal beef with TRS, but I do not want to present things as false. Now, I know that multiple members of the Inner Circle, specifically Sven, knew, and they and a couple of other people, there was Sven, Johnny Monoxide, a couple of others, were there for the post where Brendan Kissam was talking about the fact that, yes, Ghoul had slept with Andy. However, I am giving them the benefit of the doubt. It took me a long time to put together, you know, with as long as Ghoul had been talking to Andy and the age ranges that and the age that it was borderline grooming. And I don't know if they put that together. I cannot say for definitely. And, you know, I would like to believe better of them than that. And I would like to think that it just did not occur to them to think that of someone whom they considered a friend. But, you know, this is going out to them because they're probably going to eventually hear this or someone's going to tell them this. Look, you can't keep these people in with us. We have no future if we do. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. They're not worth it.
Get rid of the gang. It's not worth it.
Greg Johnson is not worth it. Ghoul and his fashy meme page is not worth it. For the love of God, we're fighting for the survival of our race. We cannot keep letting in parasites. We cannot take this cancer inside of ourselves. We already have enough problems. Get rid of them.
You know, and I just want to add my little piece with that. They talk about purity spiraling. They talk about, oh, what have you done for the movement? Oh, you've done nothing for the movement. Well, do you know what I say to that? this is what I'm doing for the movement now. This is the moment I'm going to say I did something for the movement, because you talk about purity spiraling, yet you're willing to burn bridges, ban people, destroy friendships for these people, for, if you want to call them people, for fucking people that groom underage boys, who fucking go to foam parties, who boast about how they've got this and that person's dick pics.
Who sabotage our movement. Who spread rumors about people they don't like, who say this person is a fed, this person is a fed, this person is a fed, because they don't approve of fucking poop dick. These are people that threaten to dox our own because they disapprove of sodomy.
Exactly. And you talk about purity spiraling. Well, I'm going to fucking go out on a limb and say, well, if that's the, you're the, that's really your purity spiraling yourself, but you're spiraling over a purity of fucking degeneracy.
You're impurity spiraling.
You're impurity spiraling. You want to get rid of the people because they say mean things about Greg Johnson. They say mean things about Ghoul. They say mean things about Thorn Lockerson. They say mean things about a few other people we still are yet to talk about.
If I may mind, when I left TRS, I had a conversation with Seventh Son, where I tried to very calmly and cordially explain the position, which I've already made clear for you guys here. And I said that, you know, it was important that we talk about the homosexual activity and the enabling of homosexuality of guys like Greg Johnson, Richard Spencer at the time, Millennial Blows, and so on. And Seventh Son retorted to me, and this is a direct quote, that criticism of Greg Johnson, Millennial Blows, or Seventh Son is criticism of TRS. That's a quote. And so that's kind of what the mindset, I think, is going on here, is that, you know, they view the entourage that some of the higher-ups have collected around themselves. They, you know, they know that to ostracize them will be detrimental to their personal success. And I also think that it's a matter of a lot of these guys were libertarians and are atheists. And so they don't have a kind of a strong code of ethics and morality. And so to divorce themselves from friends who have supported them, given them money, and so on, is not something that they're willing to do over issues of ideology or basic morality, I think, in many cases.
Yeah.
The thing that's being missed, as far as a lot of that stuff goes, is that we're not a singular brand. We're not any brand. We're not actually really a movement. It's more communities with a certain mutual direction. It need not matter, like, you know, oh, what have you done for the movement? What have you done for the movement? It's like, if you're part of a strong, stable community where everyone's having families, everyone's having, you know, wonderful white children, that's doing more for the movement than any shit posting on a podcast could ever do. Right?
Exactly. At the end of the day, okay, racist podcasts are cool and all, but what really, and you know, fighting Antifa on the streets, you know, that's pretty tight and shit, but dude, like, if you have, like, more than 3 kids, like, you've already done more for the movement than Mike Enoch has.
Back on topic.
So, that was what we had to say about TRS. And now we're going to, well, actually, no, we still have a little bit more to say, but it ties into our next person. And this one, I'll be honest, I'm going to be 100% honest, I'm a little bit conflicted on, but I've been umming and ahhing on this for so long, and so it's finally time we take a stance. We need to talk about Millennial Woes. So, who is Millennial Woes, if you don't know? Millennial Woes, the Scottish YouTuber, real name Colin Robertson. He got doxxed at the start of this year, if you do not know, by Antifa in Scotland. And he, however, has not been as right-wing in his public stance as, say, the Daily Shower or any other alt-right American groups or podcasts, because, of course, he is in Britain, and we all know what Britain is like. But Sage can personally attest to that.
Yeah.
But with Millennial Woes, he has been open for many, many years and has been a discussion of many videos that when he was younger, he was in a gay relationship and he's had other gay relationships with other men. And he's not apologetic about this. And
he's very open about it. Same with Ryan Falk.
And Ryan Falk. Oh God, well, I mean, the anime is bad enough with Ryan Falk alone. But with Millennial Woes, like, This is just my own personal standpoint. I've liked these videos. I've been watching them as for as long as I've been aware of the right stuff.biz. And he makes really good stuff. And it's the same what we said about Greg Johnson. At the same time, it's just that non-apologetic attitude. I mean, I get a feeling sometimes he apologizes about it, but at the same time, he just goes, fuck it, who cares? I don't need to apologize for this. And, yeah, he is someone the alt-right has supported. I know he's been in a variety of things. He was at MPI 2016, of course, with that speech with his nipples protruding through the fucking purple shirt. That was a meme for some time. And, of course, if anyone remembers, back in 2015, TRS ran a donation drive for him and encouraged all the people who donated to the Daily Shower to go donate to him. And he's been on the Daily Shower once, which was amazing. I never thought he would do that. Does anyone else want to have anything else to say, or should I just continue here?
No, I'm just going to say that, funny enough, we keep coming back to the same sodomizing question. Millennial Woes, when he was at NPI, actually stayed with Thorne Lockison, Brendan Kissam. Yeah. Funny, that. I mean, there's been some Facebook posts that have been spread around on poll with them talking back and forth to one another in the comments of their various photos they post, seeming to be flirting. And funny for, you know, someone, Millennial Woes, who says he's gone straight, and Brendan Kissam, who says he's gone celibate.
Mm. And to tie back and to talk about, you know, this whole thing that we've been talking about, how the gays that we're talking about prioritize their cummies first over the movement. And this is an example. This was a Facebook post that has been recently floating around. I've seen it on Twitter. Millennial Woes commented, "Autistically joking about white Sharia and putting homosexuals and transsexuals through wood chipping machines. If this is the alt-right, you can have it." Now, of course, he was referring to an episode of The War Room, which is, of course, is a very highly controversial podcast with some very colorful individuals in terms of their opinions. Retarded. The Vandal Brothers, you know, retarded, a bit retarded. But this is the part that really, truly amazed me. So, Seiko Vandal, if you know who he is completely nuts. Funny, nuts. I kind of like him, but also at the same time, I kind of think he's a bit of a retard, but whatever. He talks about white Sharia and all that. He's like hardline, balls to the wall. He's an ex-military, you know, whatever. And this is what he responded to Millennial Woes talking about the whole putting gays through wood chipper mentioned on his podcast. Seiko Vandal, "I do engage in meaningful activism IRL, but when my veteran buddies and I sit down to podcast, we do so as entertainers. Outlandish dark humor is the way we'll inspire the youth." Now, he's right. Outlandish dark humor is how we get people in here. I mean, that's how I fucking chart people. But just notice something about this comment. And I don't know if I'm interpreting this wrong, but the way I interpreted it was he was basically bending the knee to Millennial Woes. Like, what the actual fuck?
Sorry, I offended you, based faggot.
See, this is the e-celeb.
The gay mafia is real!
The gay mafia is real. Here you have an American militant nationalist apologizing to a Scottish gay man.
This isn't much of... And I'll cut this if, I'm detracting from the purpose, but I don't think this is much of an attack on Seiko as much as it is the power that these faggots hold within our community.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because I actually like the guy, and I very much do appreciate his work. White Sharia is funny. I have my grievances with it here and there, but it's a great meme.
Well, I mean, White Sharia is especially great since, evidently Ghoul has one of the primary tenets of Islam down where you groom a fucking underage boy! Hey-o! Ghoul pioneered White Sharia! Fuck yeah!
But that's what we're trying to get at. Let's... That's what we're trying to point out here is that he is literally bending the knee because someone said that you're being mean to gays. I don't like
it's somewhere between two things. It's either that they were the a significant amount of power that wouldn't necessarily be expected of them, or they're willing to compromise their own beliefs, as ridiculous as some of those beliefs might be, for the sake of, oh, someone's got more like YouTube subscribers than me, so, you know, we'll keep them friendly to our calls. Like, no.
Regardless, that's I don't give a shit, because that is literally cucking on your own principles. This is what we make fun of fucking. This is what we've spent the last 3 years making fun of cuckservatives over. Bending, you know, someone says something mean about you, so you immediately backflip on everything you espouse, you believe, and you go, oh sorry, and oh no, look. Yeah, we're just pretending. We're just pretending to hate gays. We're just pretending about all this. It's just getting people in the movement. What the fuck?
They do that all the time too. If it's not white Sharia, it's always something else. I'm sure the fucking anti-Christianity episode will be the same thing. Well, this is a joke, bro.
It's just a joke. Oh yeah, I was only pretending to be retarded. I mean, we also saw the same thing with the Rebel Showa. Like, just remember that quote, and that was just when I just lost all faith in TRS personally, was when, you know, oh, well, you know, we're just libertarians, and then fucking Masonus Rufus chimes in with that unfortunate quote, and I think he absolutely regrets saying it. Yeah, I have gay friends on Facebook. By the way, well, I'm 99% sure the gay friend he was talking about was Brendan Kassame. So,
probably.
Yeah, but yeah, that's like, this is what these people are like. The pressure gets put on and they just bitch out.
It's easy to talk the talk when you're watching someone else do it. It's a harder fucking thing to actually practice what you preach.
And I know someone's going to say, oh, well, you know, have you done what you did? You talk
tough. What have you done for the movement?
Yeah, you talk tough, but I bet you don't. Like, yeah, I don't fucking go up to people IRL and just tell them, fucking go stick your head in an oven, you fucking degenerate. But at the same time, I'm not going to apologize to someone because they're kind of upset that now I said, oh, maybe we should put gays in wood chippers.
You'd think after the entire Trump, presidential bid of the whole never apologize, never cuck out sort of stuff that all these people are loudly championing, to then go and completely fucking renege on all of that shows you were never genuine to begin with.
So how about we wrap this up, gentlemen? How about we just sort of wrap up the general message that we are trying to spread?
Ghoul fucks trannies, gas the sodomite, race war now.
Also, giant monoxide is short.
Yeah, can't forget that one.
Let's
blow,
take
blow, dude.
I'll quote Colin Filth on this. Colin Filth has talked about this a lot, and he mentioned it. I'm going to get really fucking religious in your guys' asses. I know a lot of people are atheists, but whatever. Colin Filth talked a lot about the whole concept of forgiveness, and leftists say to modern Christians, you know, you have to forgive me. And they just think they should be forgiven without any kind of repentance. Well, that's not how it works. I can be able to forgive people and move on and bury the hatchet and just get on with our lives and get on with what we're doing if people finally just admit they were wrong. That they shouldn't have had these people around. They shouldn't have been covering up. They shouldn't have allowed this to happen under their title and in their circles and their organization. They shouldn't have allowed this to happen. So it's not too late. Ditch the faggots. It's not worth it.
And I don't think any of us here are being petty enough to say that, oh, we demand that you bend the knee to us in particular. I think what Mine and Hazard are talking about is in a general sense. You know,
I'm talking about the hundreds of thousands of people that have supported these people over the years, the ones who listen to the podcast, the ones who donate $14.88 every week, the ones who, you know, buy the premium content, the ones who post on your forums, you know, you have just basically lied and sold out these people. I think you owe them an apology. Not us. You know, I don't give a shit. You can fucking hate me for the rest of your life. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, same.
But I want you to apologize to them because you have sold them out. And I think they deserve that.
Yeah, I think just to really hone in here, all of this contemporaneous e-drama celeb bullshit doesn't really matter, and it's going to fade away, and nobody's going to fucking remember this. the critical issue at point here, once again, is that this is about the survival of our race, the existential existence of our people in the future. And if we preserve a race of people that is sick with the disease which is killing it, we shall surely die, no matter what. And so there is no point in prolonging our existence if we continue to suffer and die under the cancer of sodomy, etc. And so I really, the whole TRS thing, it doesn't matter. You know, some of those guys, they're treating me poorly. There's a lot of guys there who are good National Socialists, strong guys, doesn't matter. It's all secondary, doesn't it? It's dust. The issue critically here is that if we live for just temporary success, then we will die without ever seeing our principles realized.
Here comes a warning then, consequentially for this. Courtesy of Greg Johnson on Countercurrents. Become a patron today of the White Nationalist Manifesto. I read, over the last few years, I've been working on and off on the White Nationalist Manifesto, a brief and compelling statement of the rationale for white nationalism, a critique of alternative ideologies, and an outline of the movement we need to create. This faggot is trying to set the terms of the movement, of the ideology itself, right? You need to understand, I mean, that's like, you know, why are we doing this, right? People need to understand that they are not our fucking people. And sure, you know, this might have some decent points here that we would agree
with.
He's
playing in-game.
He's literally co-opting.
Years old. He spent this past 17 years worming himself into a position where he can do this sort of shit. We have to stop it now, before it is too late.
And if you've had a problem with Milo Yiannopoulos trying to co-opt this movement back during the presidential election, then you should have a problem with this too, because this is the exact same thing.
Sooner or later, he's going to be advocating for, you know, fucking, oh, we should let the blacks in, you know, so that we gays can have some fun. Mark my words.
I think Milo would. I think Greg Johnson wants no niggers in his bathhouse.
No, this is not good. This is not good at all. There's absolutely no positivity to this.
Other than Greg Johnson's HIV test results.
But yeah, because I can see what's going to happen. As if nothing changes, if we just keep going down this path, we're going to see these people, like, come into the groups. It's a replacement theory. This is what Marxists have been doing for years, and governments and universities and organizations. They come in, they act all friendly, all nice. Well, we're one of you, you know, we're just here to do X. And so they kind of, you know, so-and-so over there, you know, I don't think he's very loyal. I think you should get rid of him. So that person goes. And then they do it to the next person. They pick them off one by one until you've got just nothing but them dominating the group. I mean, we've already given you several examples here today. The removal of Colin Filth, Florian Geyer being expelled. There's a few other examples. The removal of right-wing sort of radical, so to speak, elements of this movement have all been thrown out, and the racist liberals have all sort of coalesced and now are trying to dominate the narrative of what this alt-right, white nationalism, whatever the fuck you want to call it, is all about. They want to define our values, TM. But
I have an entreaty to TRS, because this is going to make it to your ears. Look, I could have fucked you guys here. I could have said that you knew about the grooming, y'all had talked about it, and decided to just cover it up. But no, I was honest. I said that, look, I don't think they made that fucking connection. It is a very horrible thing that we are talking about here. Now look, there is beef between you and me, and this is not why I am doing this. I am doing this because you have Greg Johnson, who is continuing to insinuate himself into everything that he can get his hands onto, potentially collecting people's docs. You have Ghoul, who has done something absolutely fucking abominable, who is now showing up to events again and getting involved with youth movements. For the love of God, shit ain't gonna be right between you and me, and that's fine. You know, we can go our separate ways, do our separate things, and we never have to talk to one another. But look, if we continue to allow these people around us within our movements, there is no point. I don't care if the white race fucking survives, if we survive in a fashion where faggots groom and fuck underage boys. I would rather our fucking race die with some goddamn dignity. Please, ditch the fucking faggots. For the love of all that is sweet and holy, it's not too fucking late. You can distance yourself, you can get rid of them, and you can start actually practicing what you preach.